Davey's sermon last night, I sat back and I did a little bit of thinking. And I looked back on my past walk with Christ. And I looked at how long I've called myself a Christian. And after the sermon last night, I realized for a good many years, I've been lying to myself and to many others. Because so often, as I stand in front of you here on Sundays, and as I walk throughout the week, I look to myself, and I look to please myself and to seek out to do what I want to do. And I spend very little time seeking out to do that which God has called me to do, to spend time with Jesus and to walk for Him and with Him. And I was sitting out here praying this morning, and I asked the Lord to help open my eyes, to help open my heart every day, every minute, to seek and to do His will. Because yes, you may think it when you're at work, you got to do the will of your boss. Well, partly right. But you got to do it to glorify God. If your boss says to do a thing, you do that thing. But you do it to glorify God. And so often, when we do it looking for self-glory. We look to have somebody say, oh, you did a good job. Well, it's good to get compliments like that. It makes you feel real good. Yeah, you know, my boss thinks I'm pretty good. But does your true boss, Jesus Christ, feel good when you take it that way? I don't believe He does. I believe He takes it good when you say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me the opportunity to do something right for you. I was reading this morning in Acts, in chapter 2. I'm going to read just a couple verses here, 46 and 47. And they continued daily in one mind. Let me try that again. And they, continuing daily in one accord, in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I was reading that, and several things stood out. They were all in one accord. What does that mean? Does that mean they were all scattered about? No. They all had their mind in one accord, all on the same thing, to please and to praise Jesus Christ, our Savior, to do His will. And by doing that, they pleased Jesus Christ. And so often, as we go through our weeks, we forget to be in one accord. We forget that we are all to be single-minded, keeping our eyes set on one thing, keeping our minds set on one thing, Jesus Christ, and to glorify Him. And in 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now that can be looked at in several different ways. I like to look at it in the way that everybody was praising God, and they were doing His will, following the steps that Jesus set forth for them to follow. And they steadfastly did that every day, not showing one person to be better than another. When they were out sharing Jesus Christ, they didn't just share Him with the rich. They didn't just share Him with the poor. They shared Him with all, equally, in the same way. And the Lord added to the church daily. It wasn't what they did. It wasn't because they were better than somebody else, or because they were prettier, or because they were tall or short or big or small. It was because God wanted them there. And they were doing God's will. They were going out, sharing His Word, showing people that Jesus Christ was real and still is real. And it made the church grow as God wanted it to. So often, we just do our own thing and we want people to think we're good. Well, you know, we all can be good in the eyes of the Lord by doing His will and showing people that. It doesn't matter what man thinks of us. It doesn't matter what women think of us. It doesn't matter what the people of the world think of us. What matters is what Jesus Christ thinks of what we're doing for Him. If we look good in the eyes of Jesus Christ, He's going to glorify Himself in us. He's going to see to it that we have our needs met. He's going to see to it that we can go out and bring His Word to people, and they're going to come in and they're going to hear it, and they're going to understand it, and they're going to grow in it. I guess this morning, for me, this is just the second meeting we've had in this tent. I know for the rest of you, the majority of you, you've been here all week. You've got to hear a lot about the Lord. And I've missed that. And I miss it all the time. But I got to get my eyes set on Jesus Christ. And I got to seek Him daily, whether I can seek Him with the group or alone. I've got to grow. I've got an emptiness that needs filling. So I'm going to ask the church to keep me in prayer that emptiness be filled, and that I can get my eyes set back on Jesus Christ the way they should be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
This whole week, the whole theme of revival this week has been Jude. I'm going to read out of the book of Jude, because we started with it, we'll close with it. I don't know what to do with my hands if I don't have the mic in. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. I like the order of that. Sanctified, preserved, called. I like the order. This called here is not the call in, hey y'all, come on over now. It's called as in a label put on it. The way the Lord gave it to me was real simple. He said, I got a sermon for you. This was years ago. He said, I got a sermon for you. And I want you to call it the pickle sermon. And I chuckled. I said, you got to be kidding. I'm going to go out there in front of all these people and say, I got a sermon for you, and it's entitled the pickle sermon. Somebody had been praying for me to have humility or something. Be humble. Well, at least I didn't fall down that time. Praise God. And then the Lord opened it up and showed it to me. And I'll give it to you in a parable. How shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is likened to a man who goes out and plants a garden of cucumbers. And he sends his servants out into the garden, and he separates the very finest cucumbers out from all the rest. He sanctified them, separated them. Then he went forth and he preserved those cucumbers. He pickled them and placed them in a jar. And when he had the finest cucumbers preserved and made to be the finest pickles, then he put his name upon the label. He called them. The order of this verse is for a purpose, because the children of God are first separated. Remember the Bible when Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. The called there means, hey, y'all come on over here. But the called here is the name put upon them after they've been sealed. My Bible says that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you are sealed with the Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of the possession. The earnest, the down payment, the guarantee. Sanctified means to separate, to set apart, to make different. It'd be like in this tent we could look at it two ways. We could say you have a row here and you have people there, you have people there. You're separated. Or we could put it a different way. You have these poles here. And you're separated from us. We're the sanctified ones. How you don't like that? Or how about the fact that we're in the tent separates us from everything outside? That more better? But sanctified means to separate, to put apart. So first we are sanctified, then we are preserved. Now we are preserved in the Holy Spirit. We are held in the Holy Spirit. We're sealed in the Holy Spirit. We are preserved in the Holy Spirit. I like that. Because unless the pickle jar breaks or leaks, the pickles will stay good. And with Jesus being the jar, you can't go wrong. Amen. And then we are called by His name. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied unto the separated, the preserved, the called. Verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Common salvation. There's only one salvation. It's a common salvation. It's the same salvation that I receive, you receive, or anyone else receives if it's salvation. There isn't a Baptist salvation, a Methodist salvation, a Pentecostal salvation, a Church of God salvation, a Church of God of Prophecy salvation, a Church of Christ salvation, a Congregational Church salvation, a Catholic salvation. There's only one salvation, and that's the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. There's only one. You know, if you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, and he's a Christian, and you've got three different people living in three different houses. It doesn't matter whether it's the Uchtra house, the Smith's house, or the Wilson house. If a Christian is living in that house, it's a Christian house. Amen. So if it's a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian, if they are a Christian, it doesn't matter what title is put on the door. But how many of them have the title on the door, but without the Christian in the house? And the problem is exactly what Jude said, what Paul said would come to pass, has come to pass. Paul said, in latter days, some shall depart from the faith, taking heed of seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devil. They would depart from the faith. Jude goes on to say, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Men have come in who acted like Christians should act, or we would think they should act, looked like what we think a Christian would look like, spoke like what we thought a Christian should speak like. But there was something wrong. And I'll tell you what it was. They were self-righteous. And the works they did for themselves. Jesus said, not everyone coming unto me saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. And many shall come unto me in that day, saying, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have we not done many marvelous works? And I will say, get thee away from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. A worker of iniquity is one who does everything for himself and his own glory, not for Jesus Christ. The danger in the church today isn't the character walking around in an orange robe and a tambourine and his head shaved off except with a little ponytail and dancing going, Hare Krishna. That's not the danger, because anybody with any common sense can look at that idiot and know he's screwed up. The danger in the church today isn't the guy that comes in with a beard down to his knees in a long robe saying he's Christ. That's not the danger. The danger in the church of God today, as it was here, is the man coming in saying, I come in the name of the Lord. How are you, brother? How are you, sister? The Lord be with you. Jesus is the Christ. And then starts dishing out false doctrines, doctrines of demons. Starts preaching heresies designed to elevate himself in your eyes by stroking you and telling you lies. My Bible says that flattering lips is like the poison of an adder. And how many times have I heard growing up, if you can't say something nice about someone, don't say anything at all. In other words, poison the hell out of them. Don't tell them the truth. Lady comes to church and she's got some god-awful hairdo. How do you like my hair? And it's green and purple. And you say, oh, well, it looks so lovely. No, it looks like hell, lady. Why don't you do something about it? You look horrible in it. You say, oh, well, that's not nice. That's not kind. Well, if it's the truth. Anybody remember the story about the king who had no clothes? Or the boy who made the suit for the king? How come they can do a story like that in the world and get away with it, but if you tell a story like that in the church, you don't have any love? In school, they told us the story about the king's suit. King who had no clothes. And these guys came along and made an invisible suit, so-called. And nobody would tell the king he was walking down the street naked. And some little boy said, hey, mommy, look at the naked king. Ah. Only one little boy told the truth. And I go to churches, and you know what I see? I see naked kings walking around, and I see a bunch of people saying, "Oh, I love your clothes." And when the little boy comes in and says, "Hey, buddy, you're naked," then all the people want to kill the one who said the truth. What's wrong with the church? What's wrong with the church? I'll tell you what's wrong with the church. Somebody forgot to read Jude. Somebody forgot to read it. This week, it's been our theme to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the disciples. Here. Right here. For me to believe as they believed. And for you to believe as they believed. Because until I do and until you do, how can we expect them to? How do you ever expect to go out and expect people to accept the living God and believe on the living God as written in this Word when you yourself don't? I'm going to be the little boy. And I'm going to say, "You're naked. You're naked. You're naked. Get some clothes on. Get some clothes on. Be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Be clothed in the righteousness of God. Be clothed in that righteousness that Adam had before he sinned." What was it Jesus said to the Laodicean church? "You're naked and you're poor. And yet you say you're got everything." Well, let me ask you a little secret question here. I don't know if it's a secret or a question, Amanda, but it's going to end up being one of them, isn't it? Let me ask you this. I could name names. I'm not going to. And I don't want anybody to answer me. You just answer God. Can you, right now, where you sit in the Lord, can you, right now, raise the dead? Can you, where you sit, right now, lay hands on the sick and heal the blind? Can you, right now, where you sit, cast out demons in the name of Jesus? If your answer is no to any or all of those questions, you've got some contending to do. You got some contending to do. Because though that faith that was once preached to the saints, when those saints heard it and believed it, they did it. And Satan has robbed the church from it. And it's about time we kick Satan's butt and take it back. I have seen the blind eyes open and the lame walk. And I've seen the devils cast out of people. And yes, even the dead raised. And I will say this. It's not because I'm great. It's because Jesus is great. And if you believed on Jesus as I believed on Jesus, you'd be here and doing the same thing I'm doing. You'd be saying the same thing I'm saying. Instead of making excuses why you can't do it. Instead of making excuses, you'd be doing it. I want to end on this note. It's a scripture I read the quoted the other night the Lord gave me in Proverbs. The wicked understandeth not judgment, but they that seek the knowledge of the Lord understand all things. Judgment of God comes to teach and to separate. It is the judgment of God that is the separator. Separates good cucumbers from the bad cucumbers. Separates the sheep from the goats. The judgment of God, when it comes, those that are of God will joyfully go toward it. Because to them, the judgment of God shows them how to come closer to God. But to the evil man, the judgment of God is something that's bad and to be avoided. Because it sheds light on their evil deeds and they don't want to change their evil deeds. They want to continue in them and justify them. And the judgment of God exposes it. The wise man seeks the judgment of God because it's the judgment of God that corrects us and shows us the right way to Him. And because we find that way to Him, He opens up all knowledge to us. But the evil man will avoid it constantly. So, we leave here today. We pull the tent down. And we go up to Morrisville this afternoon, and we're going to put up the tent up in George's, Brother George's backyard. We're going to bug them for a week, praise God. And I have contended for the faith this week here with you. Let us contend with them, not George and Cindy. Let them be with us to contend with the others. But if you wanted to contend with them, that's cool too, praise God. But let's get it right. Doesn't matter what other people think or what other people say. Or doesn't matter what. You know, if some sorry, stupid idiot wants to sit back and be stupid, let them be stupid. Like the Apostle Paul said, let them who are ignorant be ignorant. Let them be ignorant. Why do you have to be ignorant as they are? Let's walk it. And I will say this last thing, and I will shut up and get out of here because, well, it's still morning, praise God. Still morning, I'll say this last thing. I'll say like Paul said, if any man draws back, the man whose soul draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. I think some of you have been seeing that lately. I think some of you have been seeing this over the last few weeks. I've gotten more and more in because I'm tired of being out. I thought if I was out there with you, I could relate to you. It's like the man that says, I can't find myself. Anybody can't find themselves, you come to me a little later, I'll show you how to find yourself. Works every time. Works every time. But as these weeks have been going by, the Lord's been drawing me closer and tighter in, I get more and more impatient with those who are serving other gods, especially they that say they're Christians. And my soul just won't have pleasure in it anymore. Won't have pleasure in it anymore. So you get alone with the Lord. I'm not going to give an altar call. You get alone with the Lord. You get by yourself with Him. You get it right with Him. You don't even have to tell me about it. Because I don't matter. He matters. You get it right with Him. If he wants me to know it, he'll tell me. Amen.